Shall we, Father, we thank you that we can praise you right now. We don't have to wait until that day. Father, we can praise you right now, and that is what we do. We thank you for the finished work of Jesus Christ that we celebrate today, and we bless you for Jesus. It's in his name we pray. And God's people said, amen. Amen. Happy Easter, everyone. Take your seats. Good morning. Thank you, guys. So great to be with you. How quickly things change, right? On Friday, Christ was mocked. On Sunday, he was vindicated. See, what produced mourning on Friday was transformed incredibly when God demonstrated his power to raise Christ from the dead. A number of years ago, I had the privilege of being a chaplain for a professional ice hockey team in Europe, and it was the first time I'd done anything like that, and that opportunity gave me access to do chapels for the professional NFL teams that were in Europe. And there was one team, it was the Hamburg team, they won the championship that year, and they invited me to do a chapel. So I walked into the chapel, and I just was blown away. I mean, these guys were big. But more than that, as I looked around, I saw a number of faces that I knew. You see, there were some Olympic medal athletes that were trying to make their way in the NFL. There were some rugby players who I knew that were trying to make their way in the NFL. And this team was this mix of younger players who'd been signed to NFL teams and needed more experience, and people that would love to be able to do it. And so I looked around, and in my sarcasm, I basically thought it would be a good idea to point out that even though I had never played football, American football, in my life, that did not disqualify me from talking to them. I said, look, I played college rugby, and anybody who's played rugby knows that rugby is the men's version of football. A couple of the Europeans had a little snigger around the room, just like you're doing right now. And I said, look, guys, here's why. In rugby, we neither need helmets and pads nor breathers after every play. Our guys can run around for 80 minutes. With that, two of the largest specimens I'd ever seen in my life stood up, walked towards me, each grabbing an arm, lifted me off the floor, and raised me into the air. A few moments before, I had mocked them, but now they were vindicated because they demonstrated the power to raise. This is the Easter event. This is the event of this weekend. What happened on Friday turned to incredible triumph because in this moment, God demonstrated his power to raise. And the amazing thing is that moment transformed everything for us. And so the idea that we've been pursuing all weekend, beginning on Friday, is that all too often, when it comes to Easter, we separate the events out. We talk about Good Friday, and we stay in the mourning state, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. We stay in that downcast state, and then we come into Sunday, and this is the good day. And then all too often, we forget the event that happened 40 days later, the ascension of Jesus, and we treat them separately. And because we treat them separately, I think there are consequences to that. And so what we want to do today is we just want to bring you a message of hope. We just want to tell you that when you put all of these events together, Friday, Sunday, and the Ascension, there is something powerful that happens. Basically, because Jesus was lifted up, because he was raised up, because he was taken up, we have liftoff. Our sin can be lifted off. Our guilt and our shame can be removed. The things that hold us captive can be overcome. And more than that, because Jesus was taken up into the heavens, the Spirit of God was sent down so that you and I can know what it's like to live empowered and free. This is the message we get when we put the entire Easter story together. And that's good news. It's good news. And so it begins with this whole idea of Jesus being lifted up. The Bible says that the events of this weekend begin when Jesus was lifted up on a cross. There are many passages I could turn to, but the passage I want to draw your attention to is from John chapter 3. John chapter 3. In these verses, Jesus is talking to someone called Nicodemus. I'll explain him in a moment, but this is what Jesus said. Now, this is from verse 13. Prior to verse 13, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, this leader in the Sanhedrin, which is the Supreme Court of the day. He's talking to Nicodemus because Nicodemus is somewhat intrigued about Jesus. He's seen what Jesus was doing. He's heard what Jesus was saying, and so Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night. That's important in John's gospel. He comes at night because he doesn't want any of his colleagues to figure out that he was intrigued by Jesus. And so in verses 1 through 13, Jesus talks to Nicodemus about the process of being born again, of this new birth, and Nicodemus doesn't get it. Nicodemus is a smart man, but he just does not get it. And in verse 13, Jesus explains to Nicodemus why he can't get it. Look at this. No one, Jesus says to Nicodemus, has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. In other words, you say, Nicodemus, it's not possible for you to understand what I just shared with you, because you haven't had the privilege of seeing what I see, of knowing what I know. But the good news is, Nicodemus, you don't have to. I have come down from the Father to make these things known to you. Now, the truth of which Nicodemus is speaking is that this new birth is spiritual, and it happens through the work of the Holy Spirit. So in verses 1 through 13, he's talking about the process of new birth that when you look at it from a human level, it's so difficult to understand. But after verse 13, there's a shift. Now he talks about how this new birth actually happens. So we read it here. He gives an example. This example is taken from the Old Testament book of Numbers, chapter 21. And this is the example Jesus gives. He says, Nicodemus, this is what it's like. He says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. So there's a story that Jesus wants Nicodemus to remember. Nicodemus knew his Old Testament. And the story is of Moses leading a people who were grumbling and complaining and moaning, and God was fed up with it. And so God judges their sin by releasing, difficult part of the Old Testament, but that's the Bible, whether it's comfortable or not, releases these poisonous snakes into the camp, and the people are getting bit. And as this is going on, God speaks to Moses and says, Moses, this is what I want you to do. I want you to get that staff, that stick that I gave you. I want you to put a fiery serpent on it. How did he do that? I don't know. But put a fiery serpent on it and then lift that serpent up in the air. And then tell the people, anyone who looks at this serpent will be healed. Jesus says to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, salvation works exactly the same way. This new birth happens exactly the same way. This is how Jesus puts it in John 12. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out, and I, when I'm lifted up, I will draw all people to myself. Nicodemus, Jesus says, listen, when I'm lifted up on the cross, anyone who looks to me, having been bitten by the sin and the shame and the guilt of this world, anyone who looks at me will have their sin lifted off. See, there's three truths about that Numbers 21 passage. Firstly, the snakes and looking at the snake lifted up was not preventative. Everyone at that point in time was impacted by the poison of the snake. In the same way, the Bible says that we are born in sin, we are shaped in iniquity. All of us are impacted by the poison of sin. Secondly, we recognize that God's judgment on sin was Jesus, and his judgment on sin was also the way out. The way God judges our sin is also the way that we have our sin forgiven. What do we need to do? All we need to do is look to Jesus. Now, why is that so important? If you want to read more in the text, in John chapter 3 and verse 36, Jesus says to Nicodemus, hey, listen, this is the way it works. Anyone who believes in me and puts their faith in me, they will receive the gift of eternal life. But those who do not do that, the wrath of God remains on them. Notice that, please. There is a poison. There is a judgment on sin that awaits us all. But if we look to Jesus, the good news this morning is that sin, that guilt, and that shame is lifted off. Jesus paid the price for that sin, and we can be forgiven and free. All we need to do is look. Bless God. Because Jesus was lifted up, we have liftoff. Now, some of you may say, Craig, I would be able to do this if only I were able to look at Jesus, but I can't. There's a wonderful passage about the resurrection that I really, really love. I know a number of people are like Thomas, that disciple who would believe if only they could see. Remember what Jesus told Thomas? Thomas, blessed are you because you have seen, but blessed are they who believe even though they have not seen. See, Jesus knew that not everyone would be able to see his resurrected state. And some of you may be there. You may think, Craig, I would believe if I could see, but because I don't see, I struggle. Well, the good news is this truth that Jesus was raised up needs to be heard to be believed, not seen to be believed. I love this passage. Jesus was raised up. This is from Acts chapter 10. The reason I love this passage is because this is Peter talking to Cornelius. Cornelius is kind of like you and me. He never saw the resurrection with his own eyes. And Peter explains why that's the case. And that has huge implications for us. Look at what Peter says. Peter says, we are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. Now stop there for a second. Let's retrace the story. Jesus died on a cross, and his opponents went to the religious leaders, to the leaders there, and said, hey, when his body is placed in a tomb, we want you to guard it. They wanted it guarded, not because they were afraid of Jesus kind of getting out, but because of other people getting in. They wanted to do whatever they could to keep that body safe. If the disciples had started preaching because they'd seen a ghost or because they'd made the whole thing up, all they would need to do is to produce the body. But they couldn't produce the body once the disciples started preaching about the resurrection because there was no body to produce. And amazingly, these disciples, Peter said, witnessed God raising him from the dead. They saw it, and they started to preach about the resurrection no more than a home run away from where the body had been laid in a tomb. Peter had seen it. Cornelius hadn't. What do you do when you don't see it? Look at this. I love this. He was not seen by all the people. Well, why? Here's why. But by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. Are you seeing this? He was not supposed to be seen by everyone. We were not all called to see it. We were all called to hear it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He commanded those of us who've heard it to preach to the people who hadn't heard it, and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. Isn't this good news? We can experience the power of the resurrection if we hear it. Do you know what this says? It tells us that Jesus rose up from the grave, not for his sake, but for ours. Jesus rose up for our sake. Jesus rose up from the grave in order that peace and hope can rise up in us. I think we're in a season where people need to hear a message of hope. These last few years have been difficult for so many people. I've encountered so many people who struggle with anxiety and depression and the fear of death, having been through what we've been through over the last few years. A good friend of mine, I was talking to him just last week. His 10-year-old daughter before COVID was just this bundle of life. She was this extrovert, loved people, but she happened to live in a country, in a city that is one of the most locked down places in all of the world. This extrovert, bubbly personality now has a severe eating disorder as a 10-year-old, and all the joy is just zipping out of her life. And slowly, these parents, good friends of mine, are trying to build hope back into this young girl's life. Friends, we need a message of hope. And the message that we receive today is, listen, Jesus did not simply rise for his sake. He rose so that peace would rise up in your heart too. All you need to do is to listen to the truth of Jesus, who says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will not die. We have hope. Long before NASA had the space shuttle program, they would use these big rockets to propel astronauts into space. At the top of these rockets was something called the escape tower. It was a metal frame where the astronauts would sit in or recline in. I don't know whether I would call it recline, but they would kind of be in there. And if anything would go wrong in the launch phase, underneath that escape tower was a small but a powerful rocket that would blast them away from the problem at the launch, and a parachute would take them safely back down to Earth. Friends, the resurrection was not Jesus' escape tower. It was ours. Through the resurrection, God deemed a way for you and I to be set free from those things that hold us back. Those anxieties, those struggles, those sin issues that once held us captive. Through Jesus, we can now be set free. All we need to do is to hear the word of the resurrected Jesus. Some of you may say, Craig, my faith, I want to believe it, but it's not strong enough. Well, what does Matthew say? Matthew tells us in chapter 16 and 17 that if you have faith, Jesus says, as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be uprooted and cast into the sea, and it will be done. I've said it before, don't try and do that, because one time when you try and do that, God will say, son, before you were ever alive, I placed my mountains where I wanted them to be, and I don't need you telling me how to rearrange it. The point of the passage is not for us to rearrange God's furniture. The point in the passage is to realize that faith is only really faith when it's activated. It doesn't matter how big your faith is or how small your faith is. What matters is, are you willing to do something with the gospel message that you hear? Because this is the way that God designed faith to work. This is how it's supposed to be. I'm amazed by this. Am I one of the only people that are amazed by this? Our people are pretty incredible. And as I was looking at this, something struck me. Way back in 1977, NASA launched a massive rocket into space. And there were, I think it was one or two probes in that. We know them as Voyager 1 and Voyager 2. These little probes have been up in space for the last nearly 45 years. If you go back and look at the photographs, it's going to be very similar to this. Any of you remember the cordless the corded telephone? These probes are currently going through interstellar space at 37,000 miles an hour. As they were building this project out, the engineers were told, hey, imagine building something that is going to last a long time and then double it. Well, 45 years later, these things are engineering marvels. They are so far away from the Earth. One of them is 12 billion miles away from the Earth. The other one is 14.5 billion miles away from the Earth as of last Wednesday when I checked. Now, these little probes are sending back messages that are slowly starting to unlock the mysteries of the universe. The leader of that project, I believe, is now 82 years old. And the scientists think that in 300 years, yes, you heard me right, it's not a misspeak, in 300 years, these probes will actually be near the Oort clouds, which is an icy layer of clouds that the scientists would like to know more about. If I'm going to wait 300 years, I would like to know a little bit more than that. But here's the point. When this project was started, these scientists, these engineers, realized they were seeing something that they wouldn't live to see the end of. They were actually going to be a part of a project that would require them to pass the baton on to people who were going to be a part of this mission, who would never have seen it, but continue to hear about it. Friends, that's the Christian faith. That's how it works. That's how God ordained it to be. He didn't say that we would all see the risen Christ. He said that we should all be able to hear about the risen Christ. Now, what have we been saying? Our goal this weekend has been to remind us of the full story. The first time, last time when he came out of the tomb, people did not see him, but there will be a time when he will return and we will see him. Those of us who are blessed to be alive when that happens. If we are not, our responsibility is simply to pass the baton onto the next generation until such a time as God ordains it to be the time that he returns. Acts 10 tells us that God ordained it to be this way. Faith does not come by seeing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Because Jesus was raised up, the good news is if we hear this message of the gospel and respond to it by putting our faith on Jesus, we can have incredible peace rise up in our hearts and know the power to break free from those things that are holding us back. He was lifted up. He was raised up. Lastly, he was taken up after appearing to the disciples for 40 days. This is what Luke tells us in Luke chapter 24. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Now, not much is usually said about the ascension of Jesus. If the cross was the humiliation and the resurrection the vindication, then the ascension is the glorification of Jesus. It's in that moment he ascends to the Father, he takes his place at the Father's right hand, and now he assumes that role of praying for you and for me. Now, what strikes me about this is that this is a pretty abrupt end. That's it, right? Often when we go through crises in life, we go through these crises and we think, that's it. This is as far as it goes. But that's to reckon without the resurrection power of God. As the disciples went out and were there with Jesus, as he was taken up into heaven, you would naturally think that wow, this is it. It's the end, but it's not the end. That end was ultimately a new beginning for them. I love how Acts chapter 1, verse 1 begins. This is the same author. Look at what he says. In my former book, in the Gospel of Luke that we just read, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. This is significant because it tells us that God has a way of turning endings into new beginnings. What I love is that the ascension of Jesus and the way it's told thrusts the disciples, even Luke himself, into a new phase of his life that he would never have imagined as he thought about the way that Jesus left them. The disciples, we're told, were as amazed as we would be if we've seen a SpaceX rocket launch or if you've been in Florida for a space shuttle launch. But here's the thing. When you read the story, there is absolutely no sign at all of the disciples feeling abandoned. In fact, they're said to worship Jesus and to return to Jerusalem with great joy. Now, it's at this moment, right, we could think that the mission is accomplished. Everything is finished. Everything is done. But that's not the case. In a sense, Jesus' mission is accomplished, but it's only accomplished because there's a new phase of this mission that is about to take place and would take place once the Holy Spirit had come and been given to the disciples. There's a new phase. There's something that they did not expect to happen. What I love about this, though, is the work that God needs to do to remind them of that. And again, I think this is so important for where we are as a church corporate in America right now. It's true to say that the church across our nation is slow to get back to her status before COVID. I'm reminded that even though the disciples had been instructed by Jesus to go and wait in Jerusalem until the power of the Holy Spirit came, what do we read happening in Acts chapter 1? What we read happening is the disciples are standing, looking up into heaven, just like we would look if we had the chance to see the International Space Station some 250 miles above us. They're standing and they're looking and they're watching and they're waiting. And what does the text tell us? The text tells us that God sends a messenger to them, and this messenger says, hey guys, what are you waiting for? Oh, well, we're waiting for Jesus. Well, guys, if you're going to wait for Jesus, stop watching and start praying and start witnessing. Listen, if you're a follower of Jesus and this is your first time in church for a long time, let me just say this. The movement of Jesus requires you to assume your responsibility and share the message of the resurrection with those who haven't heard it. You know why? Because that's the way it works. What we don't need are believers stargazing. What we need are the people of God engaging with the mission of God, of telling people the hope that is available to them because Jesus was lifted up, Jesus was raised up, and Jesus was taken up. The worst thing that we can do for this world is gather at Easter and then not come back until Christmas. The message of the gospel needs more than that. And so how do we have liftoff? Three thoughts here, three challenges. Firstly, because Jesus went up and sat down, we need to celebrate today because his work is finished. His work is done. When he was on the cross and he said, it is finished, the price for sin was paid. When he rose from the grave, the penalty for sin was paid once and for all, and the power of sin was destroyed. His work is finished. We can celebrate that. But there's a whole load more. Secondly, because Jesus went up, we know that the Spirit of God came down. And thirdly, and I love this, because Jesus went up, we boldly press on. What does Hebrews tell us? We do not have a mediator who doesn't empathize with our suffering. We have someone who is at the right hand of the Father and understands every challenge that we face. And because we have, the author says, we can approach the throne of grace, what? Boldly. To borrow that Star Trek line, because Jesus went boldly when no one had ever gone, we can press on boldly and do things that we've never done. That's the hope of today. It's that we can be bold. We can press on. We can make decisions about the destiny of our lives that we've never made before. The team are going to lead us out in a closing song, but I do want to extend a challenge to us all. I wonder tonight whether you have ever come to the point of looking to Jesus to have your sins forgiven. Again, the Bible says we were born in sin, shaped in iniquity. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the Bible also says the gift of God is eternal life to those who believe. Have you put your faith in Jesus? I encourage you today. Secondly, listen to this message and to take the little part of you that believes and to place it on Jesus and to see what God can do. Now, if that's you, what I would encourage you to do is a couple of things. Firstly, remember that number, 94,000-94,000. Press the number 2. Text Central Holland to 94,000. Press the number 2, and we would be delighted to get in touch with you. Also online, I know the last service, a number of people online, it's the same thing. There is a response mechanism happening online right now. If you have never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, then the encouragement of this message is to do it. Jesus was lifted up so the penalty of sin can be lifted off. But secondly, I think there's a challenge to the church here. I believe we're in a season where we need to recognize how this faith of ours gets carried on. More and more young people are walking away from the faith like never before. And unlike any other religion, what we know to be true is that our faith is not inherited. It ultimately is one generation away from extinction. What we need is for the Church of Jesus Christ to boldly assume the role that Peter says is ours. We may not all have seen the resurrected Christ. None of us did. But we have the responsibility of sharing the message of the resurrected Christ to all who we meet. Be bold in the season. Share Christ. Live out your faith. And you will be amazed at what God will do. Won't you stand with me? We're going to sing this song. Again, I encourage you, don't leave this place without making a decision. At the end of the service, I'll be out with a number of our other staff over at the connection tables over there. If you want to come and meet with us, please do that. We've got some Bibles for those of you who are saying, you know what? I want to start my faith with Jesus Christ. Go take those. But let's just be thankful today because Jesus was lifted up, raised up, taken up. Our sin, our guilt, and our shame has been lifted off. Let peace rise up in your hearts through faith. Father, we thank you for the wonderful gift of life and hope through Jesus Christ. And God, we just pray that you would do a new work in our hearts. To the spiritually seeking, Father, may they be so intrigued by you, just like Nicodemus, that they would dig into what you say in your word. Father, for those of us who maybe have taken steps back, we are kind of slumbering around in our faith, may you energize us to press on, because this work that you have done through Jesus is so life-changing. And Father, this morning, we just thank you for the joy of an empty tomb. That because Jesus rose, peace, and hope, and life can raise up in our hearts too. God, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name.